The reading for today is from Mark chapter 15, verse 42, to chapter 16, verse 8. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, our sermon today is actually going to be taken from our first reading from Mark. So please do turn back in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. So Mark chapter 15 from verse 42 on page 1023. As we come to God's living word, let me say a word of prayer. Dearest God, King of kings and Lord of lords, thank you that you do not leave us stumbling in the darkness, but your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As we come to it now, may it enlighten us, may it lead us, may it guide us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This is a story about courage. Because there's a lot of courage which we hear about from this man, Joseph of Arimathea. In verse 43, we meet him. Joseph of Arimathea, he was a member of the ruling council, the very council which had sentenced Jesus Christ to death. And in that council meeting in Mark, we don't hear anything from Joseph Arimathea. Absolutely nothing. Is that because he tried to give a defense, but it was just so weak it wasn't even noted? Is that because he was so scared about standing up for Jesus that he just didn't say anything. We hear nothing. And yet that nothing becomes everything. As Joseph of Arimathea goes to the very man who orchestrated Jesus' death. And he goes to Pilate. And he asks for Jesus' body. He goes and he nails his colours to the mast. This is a story about courage. About a man who is willing to stand with the condemned. This is a story about death. Because we read here that Pilate, he is quite surprised when Joseph comes to ask him for Jesus' body. Because Jesus hasn't been on the cross for particularly long. And so he doesn't think that he should be dead yet. And so Pilate asks one of his guards to go and check and find out, has Jesus actually died? And the guard returns and he tells him that he has. And what's interesting about this fact is how useful a fact it is. Because soon after this story goes out of Jesus' death and resurrection, alternative stories start to be told. And one of those alternative stories is that Jesus Christ didn't actually die on the cross. That he was injured on the cross, but he was laid in the tomb and he was still alive. Well, here we have an eyewitness account of this guard going and discovering that Jesus was actually dead. We hear from an expert how Jesus is dead. This is a story about death, about a lifeless corpse being placed in a tomb made of stone. This is a story about devotion. We see here in chapter 16, we meet three women, Mary, Mary, and Salome. Mary and Mary, they've seen where Jesus Christ has been buried. And they wait 3 days, and now they bring spices and oil because they want to anoint his body, as was custom in those days. And this is a dangerous thing to do because Jesus is a known criminal. He's been killed for being a criminal. Like the crowds are angry. And yet they're willing to stand with Jesus. They're willing to be seen with Jesus. They're willing to be known as a Jesus follower because this is a story about devotion, about three women who are devoted to a man who has captivated their hearts. This is a story about life. These three women, they get to the tomb and wondering to themselves, well, who's going to remove the stone so we can actually enter? They see that the stone is already gone. And amazed, they wander into the tomb. And coming here, what the angel has to say to them in verse 6. Hear the angel's words. Verse 6, don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Jesus the Nazarene was crucified. Jesus the Nazarene bled to death. Jesus the Nazarene's lifeless body was placed in a tomb. Jesus the Nazarene was dead. But Jesus the Nazarene is not here because Jesus the Nazarene has risen. Death is an ending. It is the final chapter. It is a conclusive full stop where the resurrection of Christ, it is the turning over the page. It is the next chapter beginning. This is a story of life. Of death being defeated, of Jesus Christ rising from the grave. This is a story of grace. Hear what else the angel has to say to Jesus in verse 7, to the women in verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. If you had been away from home for a long time and then you came back, who are the people that you really want to see? Well, you probably want to see your family and you probably want to see your friends. You probably want to see your loved ones, and you probably want to see the people who make you laugh. Who are probably the people you don't want to see? Well, you don't want to see the people who have abandoned you. You probably don't want to see a man who has denied even knowing you. And yet, who are the people, when Jesus Christ rises from the dead, who are the people that he wants to see? He wants to see those disciples who scattered. He wants to see Peter, who denied knowing him three times. This is a story about grace, about a glorious king defeating an enemy and coming home and calling the cowards his friends. This is a story about fear. The women's response to the angel's message, I think it is remarkable. Come read it with me. Verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Like, afraid? You would have thought, okay, come on, like, they're devoted to Jesus. Their hearts are captivated by Jesus. Surely this is the best news in the world. Surely this is the best thing ever. And they've even been told that it's going to happen. And yet they're filled with fear. And yet fear does actually feel like quite an appropriate response when the unimaginable occurs, when the unthinkable happens, when the incomprehensible is done right before your very eyes. Fear feels like the most natural response. When the disciples witness Jesus Christ telling a huge storm to be quiet, and the storm became calm, they're filled with fear. When villagers witness a man who had been filled with a legion of demons sitting calmly and in his right mind because Jesus had cast them out, they're filled with fear. When Peter and James and John go up the mountain at the transfiguration and they see the very glory of God shine from the face of Jesus, they're filled with fear. Because when you see the very hand of God at work before your very eyes, it's going to fill you with fear. This is a story of fear. Because this is a story of three women witnessing the very power of God right before their eyes. And this fear is real because this story is real. They're not trembling at an illustration. They're not trembling at a metaphor. They're not trembling at the idea that Jesus has died, but it's okay, he's risen. No, they're trembling at the reality of what they have seen. That Jesus Christ has come back from the dead, that the power of God has occurred right before their very eyes. This is a story of fear. And this is a story that keeps on being told. Look down again, verse 8. Because the women, they're filled with fear and trembling, so they say nothing to anyone. They say nothing to anyone. And this is such an unsatisfactory ending to some early church writers that they've even added an extra bit. But the women here, they say nothing to anyone. But we know that they don't stay silent for very long. Why is it that we know that they don't stay silent for very long? Well, because Mary and Salome are the only ones who witness what the angels said. And because we have this story right here. Thus, they started spreading it. Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead, and the angels spread the story to the women. And the women spread the story to the disciples. And we heard Peter spreading the story in Acts. And the disciples spread the story from Jerusalem to Samaria. Then some of them made their way into Greece. and then into Turkey, and then into Greece, and then they made their way to Rome. And the story kept on being spread. And then in 597 AD, Pope Gregory sent a missionary, Augustus, to England to spread the story here. And then in 1270, a church was planted called St. Mary's right by the River Thames. And now in 2024, this story is still being spread. And why is that? Why is this a story which is still being shared? Why is it a story that the angels share, that women share, that men share? Why is this a story that Jews share and that Gentiles share, that Greeks share and those from Turkey share and those from Rome share? Why is this a story from those from history share and is still being shared today? Because this is a story that changes everything. This is a story that changes everything. Have you ever wondered, is Jesus Christ really God? Is he really worth my devotion? Should I really follow him? This is a story that changes everything. Have you ever been afraid of that final sleep? That moment when our bodies are laid to rest. Have you ever wondered what will happen next? This is a story that changes everything. This is a story that changes our understanding of Christ. This is a story which changes our view of the future. And this is a story which changes today. The Oxford academic C.S. Lewis wrote, Christ has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of the new creation, a new chapter in cosmic history. This changes everything. A few years ago in my last church, in Christchurch, Sidcup, I met a man on Easter Sunday, and it was his first time ever to come to church. He'd never been in a church building before. And this man had a remarkable story, which he's given me permission to share part of it. At the age of 19, he became a recluse, and he shut himself off from the world. I met him in his mid-30s. Over the years, he started to watch, like many a young man does, the debates with Dawkins and Christians and atheists and Christians, and he just kept on watching and watching and watching. And he started to be amazed by some of the things that he was hearing in these debates. And then he started watching a TV show called The Chosen, which is a fictional telling of the life of Jesus Christ. And in the moment in that TV show, there's a moment where Jesus embraces Nicodemus. And this man, he watched that embrace and just tears just started falling down his face. And so he decided he'd try and find a local church, and he found us, Christ Church. And so he started watching our church services every week online. And then that Easter Sunday, he thought he'd come along for the very first time. And by November, we had baptized him as a believer in Jesus Christ. And over the few years which I knew him, I saw this story change his life. I saw this man who had been a recluse for so many years, be it every Bible study, and every course. I saw him helping clean the church. I saw him volunteering at charity shops. I saw him get his first ever job. This story, it changes everything. It changes everything about our understanding of Christ. It changes everything about the future. And it changes everything about the present. Because the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power that has brought him back from the dead. If we hear this story and if we believe this story, then that power can be in work and can be at work in us today. So what do we do with this? Well, we've got to hear this story and we've got to believe this story and we've got to spread this story and we've got to let this story change us. Because this story changes everything. Let's spend a moment just reflecting on God's word and then I'll close in prayer. Oh, dearest God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, thank you that you have acted in history. Thank you that you have acted in a way that we can see and feel and touch and know. And thank you for those actions. That your Son would come, that he would take on our flesh, that he would die in our place, and that he was raised from the dead. Thank you that this story is true. And thank you that this story changes everything. In the name of Jesus, amen.